This episode of the Art of Manliness podcast is brought to you by Huckberry. Huckberry is my favorite place to shop online. Everything from clothing, they got stuff for your everyday carry, camping gear, things for your house like furniture and even like art. You name it, they've got it, and they handpick all this stuff to feature in their store. Go check it out at huckberry.com. And if you want to see some of the things I've purchased from Huckberry over the years, go to aom.is/aomhuck. And if it's your first time purchasing, use code ART15 at checkout and you'll save 15% off your first purchase. Again, aom.is/aomhuck and then code ART15 to save 15% off your first purchase. Brett McKay here, and welcome to another edition of the Art of Manliness podcast. Now, let's say you were plopped in the middle of the wilderness with nothing but your wits. Would you know what to do to survive? Or how about, let's say there's some sort of natural disaster. Power's cut off, gas is cut off, water's cut off. Would you know how to survive those hours, days, maybe even weeks without those amenities? Well, our guest today has dedicated his life to helping people prepare for those sort of wilderness survival or emergency situations. His name is Creek Stewart, and he is the owner of Willow Haven Outdoor. It's a survival school in Indiana. And you might recognize Creek. He's written a lot of articles, some of our most popular content on the Art of Manliness, how to build a survival shotgun, how to build a 72-hour kit. He's also written a few books. He's out with a new one called The Unofficial Hunger Games Survival Guide. So in the off chance we have societal collapse and we have a reality show where it's the last man standing wins, this book will tell you how to survive. And we're going to talk to him today about his book and also some other advice on how to prepare for emergency situations. Stay tuned. Well, Creek, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah. So, I mean, we were just talking about this earlier. This is the first time we've actually talked on the phone like before. I mean, you've written so many great articles for us. We never actually gotten together to chat. So this is a first.
I know. It's great to put a voice with all the emails that we sent back and forth. So that's modern technology for you, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so let's do a little background about you. You are a professional survival instructor, and that's what you do for a living. I'm sure there's a lot of guys who are like, man, that sounds like the dream job. I mean, how did you become a survival instructor? Did it start out as a hobby, as a kid, and then you just somehow managed to figure out a way to make a living off this? Tell us your story.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you're exactly right, and it certainly hasn't been an easy road and one without hurdles and bumps, like most people's stories, I guess, who probably pursue their dreams. But you know, I grew up in scouts, longtime scout, you know, Eagle Scout, and always loved the outdoors. Always had a passion for self-reliant skills, and always knew I would end up in an outdoor-related profession or business somehow, somewhere. When I was in college, you know, really trying to find my way, I ended up writing a small self-published wilderness survival manual about the skills I knew at that time. I was 21, so it's about 15 years ago. And I took that little manual and I sold it to Boy Scouts. I took out an ad in the back of Boys Life magazine, and I was going around from troop to troop and, you know, kind of hawking this little survival manual about the skills I knew at the time. And that little manual led to me holding some two-hour courses on my parents' farm in southern Indiana. And those little two-hour courses led to me holding one-day courses. And, you know, then I started doing more and more courses and, you know, invested the next kind of 5 to 6 years really taking my skill set seriously, you know, because you can only teach the skills if you're proficient in them yourself. And so I took some time and really invested in training and making sure my skills were up to par. And I was a mobile business for a long time. You know, I was an old explorer with a trailer, and I would drive from rental land and farmland and state parks. And, you know, for the longest time while working a full-time job and sometimes two full-time jobs. And you know, about 3 or 4 years ago, I decided to really to really go deep, and I invested in a facility and a building, and so I have 21 acres and a beautiful lodge, and, you know, that's when, you know, my business really changed, you know, when I had a facility and I could hold three-day courses and people could spend the night. And so that's kind of my story in a nutshell.
That's a really inspiring story. I mean, it just seems like it's just a lot of hustle that went on there. So now you have this facility so people can come out to your place. It's in Indiana, right?
It is, central Indiana.
And basically learn how to be a mountain man, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely teach manly skills. So, I mean, we teach primitive survival skills, you know, how to meet your basic core human survival needs, shelter, water, fire, and food.
Yeah, and one of the things I like about your style and your approach, I mean, you're just very approachable with this material. Because I know for a lot of people, sort of the layman who's completely new to prepping and survival stuff, it can be kind of intimidating because it's a different kind of group of people who are interested in it. But this stuff's important for everybody. I just love how you make it accessible to everyone. So kudos to you for doing that. Let's talk about that sort of barrier, that intimidation. There's a lot of prepping terms that, like jargon, right? That if you didn't know what it meant, you're like, what is that? You know, for example, like bugging out is a common one, and then bugging in. What's the difference between bugging out and bugging in, and how do you prepare for those different types of situations?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're opposite ends of the spectrum. You know, the definition of bugging out is when a disaster of any type, whether natural or man-made, strikes your area and it's no longer safe to stay at home. The decision to stay at home is actually, you know, life-threatening. So in response to that, you have to evacuate your home in search of a safer destination and head from point A to point B. And that decision is what we refer to in the survival industry as bugging out. Now, bugging in is, you know, an ideal scenario in a disastrous situation, because it's the exact opposite. It's you decide maybe in a severe storm, it's not life-threatening, but your lights are out, you may not have electricity, you may not have gas, you may not be able to drive around, maybe there's ice-covered roads. And so your decision is to hunker down, close your doors, and provide for yourself inside your own home for, you know, anywhere from, you know, extended period of time, anywhere from maybe 12 hours to 3 days, maybe even 2 weeks, who knows?
Yeah, we, in Oklahoma, we get like these really wicked ice storms. And a few years ago, there was one, and the electricity was out for over a week, and you couldn't go anywhere. And it was kind of scary because, like, we had, you know, stuff on hand, but then you started getting to that point where, like, oh, you know, we're reaching that limit where we should have had some more. So yeah, being prepared for a bugging in situation.
It would, absolutely. And, you know, Oklahoma had a bug out situation, about a week and a half ago, you know, those tornadoes that came through, people, you know, all of a sudden staying in the path of the tornado is, you know, a life-threatening decision. So people had to kind of bug out.
Yeah. So part of the essential part of bugging out is having a bug out bag. And it seems like people are just talking about this, you know, all over the internet. Well, you know, you got to get your bug out bag. And you, in fact, wrote just a fantastic article post about how to build a bug out bag. And you even published a book on how to build a bug out bag, which I highly recommend you guys get. It's awesome. I'm using it to build my family's bug out bag. You know, Creek has these awesome lists where he like tells you exactly what you need, how many of those things you need, based on the number of people. So my wife and I have been slowly putting together our bug out bag with his book. But Creek, can you give us kind of a basic rundown of the sort of items you'd want in a bug out bag?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the most important aspect of a bug out bag is that it's a bag, it's a backpack, you know, it's got to be something mobile, because just because we're leaving our home doesn't mean that we may be able to do so in a vehicle, you know, and especially in big cities, when everybody leaves their residence at the same time, it ends in nothing short of traffic jams. And so traveling by foot may be a necessity. So the bug out bag, first and foremost, has to be mobile. You got to be able to carry it. All teaching I do and any survival kit I think about or you know, talk about, it always starts with four categories, and that's what I call the core four. It's shelter, water, fire, and food. So the first four categories of any survival kit, including a bug out bag, should include tools and gear and things to help you meet your core basic survival needs in the shelter, water, fire, and food categories.
Gotcha. So just like have an extra pair of clothes, maybe have a tarp for shelter.
Yeah. So if you want to kind of delve in a little bit more specifically, like shelter category, for my bug out bag, I use a lightweight backpacking tent. You know, I like the idea of a tent that closes you off from the rest of, you know, what might be happening around you. But, you know, definitely a sleeping bag, definitely some kind of a tarp, maybe a backup emergency survival blanket, maybe a backup rain poncho that could be configured into the shelter configurations. So shelter is, you know, in extreme conditions, humans can live for 3 hours without shelter, 3 days without water, and 3 weeks without food. So shelter is really important, and hypothermia is the number one outdoor killer in this country.
Hmm.
More deaths related to hypothermia than any other outdoor-related death, falling, climbing accidents, four-wheeler accidents, snake bites. I mean, it's a huge silent killer. So shelter is very important.
And then I guess water, just have some just kind of the basics, have an extra bottle of water perhaps. And then
exactly. You know, the ideal time frame for the average disaster lasts 72 hours where, you know, we're in the absence of the utilities that we depend on so much, like electricity and water and food and things like that. So plan for 72 hours worth of water, which a good estimate is 3 liters. You know, and because water is so critical and you can move through it pretty quickly, a backup solution to water, whether it's a, you know, portable life straw or lightweight backpacking pump for a, you could source water from a creek or a pond. So just some kind of backup to the three pieces you already have.
Gotcha. And what I found interesting about the bug out bag is that a lot of people just already have this stuff laying around their house.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of putting it all in one place so when something does happen, you can just grab it and go.
Exactly. You know, that's the whole concept because, you know, the last thing you want to be doing in the sometimes seconds that you have of being notified of a large-scale disaster, the last thing you want to be doing is trying to pack.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a great kit to have just in case Mother Nature or man gives you very little to no warning.
Yeah, and I guess the bug out bag can also serve as sort of a bug in bag in some situations too, right? Like if water's out, then you can use the resources in your bug out bag to fulfill that need.
Absolutely. I dig into my bug out bag all the time, you know, sometimes I'll grab my bug out bag if I'm going on a long trip, you know, I'll have that in the car with me and, you know, I'll dig into my bug out bag when I'm at home, when the lights go out for, you know, a large storm or a windstorm or something like that. It doesn't have to save your life to be really useful and practical.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. Yeah, it's funny you mentioned the car thing. My dad's, man, several years ago, I mean, it's been almost like over 20 years ago, he got stuck in a blizzard between Amarillo and Oklahoma City, and he had to pull over to the side of the road. And yeah, he was there for like a day. Like he had it, but like thankfully he had a bunch of stuff in his car where he was able to, you know, feed himself, stay warm.
Wow.
So yeah, kids, make sure you have something in your car because you never know when it can happen. Happened to my dad.
Yeah, exactly. A classic, I mean, just a classic textbook example of what I call sudden and unexpected survival scenarios. Because there's a big misconception that, you know, this doesn't happen, this won't happen to me, this only happens to other people and people on the news. But, you know, I mean, I don't, you know, when I teach survival skills, I don't talk about zombies and meteorites and alien invasions. I mean, I talk about the real stuff that happens to real people, just like you and me, on a regular basis.
And I guess that must be the biggest barrier in preventing people to start preparing or getting ready for those type of things. They just don't think it happens, right? They just think, oh, it'll never happen to me. It'll happen to someone else, so I'm not going to do anything about it. I mean, is that the biggest barrier for folks?
That is certainly that is certainly on the top of the list. You know, just the mentality that it's not going to happen to me. You know, there's just such a naive, we're just so comfortable, you know, and especially the U.S., and I know you have an international audience as well, but, you know, we're just so comfortable here, you know, and it's so hard to imagine that, you know, our basic human survival needs aren't, you know, just around the corner or the flip of a switch, but it happens. It absolutely happens to people, and I would say the number two barrier is people are busy. Their schedules are hectic, and it's hard to carve out time for yourself sometimes, let alone putting together a kit, which is certainly an investment of time.
Definitely. Let's talk about, so you mentioned I was going to talk about, like that whole mentality. I love the phrase that you use to sign off on posts and your emails. It's like, it's not if, but when.
Right.
I love that. Cause you always think, oh, you know, if it might happen, then I'll do this. But it's like, if is so conditional. When you think about, you know, when, it's more immediate and more pertinent, and it brings things, that sort of mentality, I guess gives you like lights a fire under your butt to get things going.
And I really believe that too. I really believe that, you know, we have a pretty high probability of at some point in our lives finding ourselves in some kind of sudden and unexpected survival scenario. You know, just like those cruise ships this spring, you know, two huge cruise ships in the middle of the ocean shut down for 7 days, you know, and I bet those people never thought in a million years when they left on their vacation they'd be fighting for their basic human survival needs for a few days.
Yeah, because I mean, yeah, cruise ships, like, it's like everything kind of magically happens for you. You have like all the all-you-can-eat buffet. You've got, I mean, it's just everything's catered towards you. And like, as soon as that's gone, you're like, okay, what do I do now?
Seriously, right?
That's got to be scary. So you talked about for your bug out bag, you need to think about the core four. Let's take that concept of the core four to skills. I'm guessing the most important skills that a person should work on developing center around those core four. So fire building, shelter building, are those like the most important hard skills?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, top three hard skills are understanding basic sheltering principles, you know, understanding what your dangers are, what your threats are with sheltering, and how to kind of combat those in any type of a situation, whether it's wilderness or urban. Number two set of skills, and you know, the top three, it depends on the circumstances, what's one, two, or three, but the top three are shelter, water, you know, understanding how to purify water, understanding how to find water, how to track water, and number three, fire, because fire can be so relevant to shelter and water. You know, if for some reason you don't have the resources or the knowledge to erect or configure a suitable shelter, all of a sudden fire becomes your number one resource for regulating core body temperature. So your fire building skills are really important. And on the same line against water, you know, if you don't have a modern pump or chemical purifiers or a life straw and you don't have potable water, all of a sudden boiling becomes your number one way to purify drinking water. And obviously you need fire to boil water. So those three are definitely the top three skills to focus on. Fire building is probably the most time consuming because it is truly an art. But regardless of which survival skill we're talking about, there is only one way to learn a skill, and it is through practice and repetition. You can read all the books, you can watch all the videos, and even train with some of the best instructors in the world. But until you get on your hands and knees and start doing these skills with your own two hands and trial and error, it is the only way to learn them.
Also by The Strenuous Life. The Strenuous Life is an online platform that we created to help you put into action the things we've been writing about on theartofmanliness.com and talking about on the podcast for the past 10 years. And we've done that in a few ways. First, we created a series of 50 different badges based around 50 different skills. There's hard skills like self-defense, wilderness survival, orienteering, auto repair. Then there's also soft skills like personal finances, social skills, how to be a better public speaker, better husband, better father. We also provide daily accountability for physical fitness and doing a good deed, helping you think outside of yourself. And we also provide weekly challenges that are going to push you outside of your comfort zone physically, mentally, and socially. And
Some of the weekly challenges involve MoveNat. So if you like the MoveNat thing, it's interesting to you, well, Serenious Life will have you doing some of that stuff. If you like to know when our next enrollment opens up, which is happening the week of June 15th, but you want to be one of the first to know when enrollment opens up, head over to strenuouslife.co, put your name on our waiting list. We'll send you an email when enrollment opens up. When you sign up, make sure you whitelist our email and your email provider so the email doesn't go to spam. That happens to a few people and they miss out. We've done everything we can to prevent that from going to spam, but take that extra step, whitelist us so that doesn't happen. StrenuousLife.co. Hope to see you in the next enrollment the week of June 15th. And now back to the show.
So that's a great point. But how do you talked about being busy, right? That's one of the things that prevents people from doing that. Any suggestions you have for the average person out there who's listening? They're like, man, I really want to practice. I want to develop these skills. How do I work those in to my schedule? I mean, do you have any like suggestions on that?
Absolutely. You know, there's a huge misconception that in order to practice survival skills, you have to go into the remote wilderness for 2 weeks and put yourself in a survival situation to actually practice the skills. I get that all the time. Well, I don't have 80 acres. How can I practice? Well, you practice this stuff in your backyard. You know, you don't need any. You could practice it. If you live in an apartment, you could practice 99% of the skills you need to know to save your life in the wild can be practiced on a 5-square-foot patio in the back of an apartment. You know, the misconception is that you need wide open spaces and all this land to practice some of these skills, and it's just not the case. And quite frankly, they're not really that time consuming, you know, and I've never ever, for anybody who has kids, you know, or young people in their life, I've never ever met a kid who doesn't absolutely love spending time with someone learning outdoor skills. It is an excellent way to just bond with people. And you know, if you go camping, you can incorporate some of these fire building skills or shelter building skills in a camping trip. It doesn't have to be a dedicated survival skills weekend. You know, a lot of these things can be incorporated into activities that we do on a regular basis. You know, instead of starting the fire and the barbecue with the lighter this week, maybe you do something a little bit different. Maybe you do something a little primitive and try to strike it with a ferro rod or a piece of man-made, or a piece of natural found tinder or something.
That's some great stuff right there. That's just giving me some great ideas. I've got some ideas bubbling in my mind right now. What to do with, like, my son's 2, but I'm looking forward to the age when he gets a little bit older where I can like do stuff with him. And
yeah,
just going in the backyard and just like, hey, we're going to set up a tent today, or hey, we're going to learn how to start a fire with a magnifying glass.
I've never met a boy who doesn't want and love to build a fort.
Oh, yeah. That'd be
you
awesome.
You know, and you call it a fort instead of a survival shelter, and all of a sudden, eyes start lighting up.
Okay, well, so those are the hard skills, shelter building, fire building, water. But are there any, like, soft skills, like, you know, any things you need to do to mentally prepare for a survival situation or psychologically or socially? I mean, is there a soft component to survival as well?
Sure, absolutely. You know, I mean, I don't know the percentage, but, you know, a high 90% of survival is mental. You know, what your mind decides, your body will do. And so if I had to just pick 2 kind of mental survival skills that people can work on, you know, as they go about their daily routines or daily activities, number one, and I believe your most important survival skill is this. It will always be your ability to improvise. Because if there's one thing I can promise you about a sudden and unexpected survival scenario, it's that you won't have everything you need. That kind of defines the survival scenario, kind of gives you the definition of that scenario. So you all of a sudden have to meet your needs with what you have. And oftentimes that's with what you have in the car, like your dad did, in your pockets, in a purse, in a backpack. And it's using oftentimes everyday items and trash in a different way. It's looking at things what I call through survival tinted goggles. So a good, just kind of a fun exercise to do with your family or your buddies is to throw a random product on the table and then just brainstorm as many things as you can think of as how that product could be used to meet one of your core four basic human survival needs.
That's awesome.
And you'd be surprised. Yeah, and you'd be surprised at the list. You know, the first few that come out are always a little crazy, but once they start coming and people start brainstorming, you'd be surprised at all the crazy ways, regular, everyday items that we see in the, you know, in ditches along the road can be used to meet our core basic survival needs with a little bit of creativity.
Well, you've actually written some articles for The Art of Manliness, this sort of thing. Like, it's one of some of our most popular articles, the survival tampon. Is an
classic example.
Yeah, I mean, who would have known that this is like the, what do you call it, the tactical survival tool? What does tampon mean?
Comfort did exactly what it was. It definitely tactical outdoor adventure tool or something
that. And then you also did it with the cell phone, right? Like if you have a busted cell phone, like here's different ways you can. So yeah, I mean, so I guess your suggestion is like just take stuff you find in your house, plop it on the table and say, all right, find as many ways as you can to use this as a survival instrument.
Exactly. And it's actually pretty fun to do, you know, and like any skill, whether the hard, you know, we talked about the hard skills, how practice is important, you know, thinking outside of the box and being creative is a skill. And if that's encouraged, and if you encourage your mind to think that way on a regular basis, you'd be surprised at how quickly you start to develop the ability to improvise and kind of look at products through that, through those survival tinted goggles that I talk about.
That's awesome. All right, so let's talk about your new book. You got a new book out. It's The Unofficial Hunger Games Survival Guide. Who's this book geared towards? What's your goal with this book?
Well, I tell you what, I always told myself I was never going to write a primitive survival skills manual. There's so many on the market, and quite frankly, I didn't really feel like I could add to the content that was already out there. I mean, there's only so many different ways you can present how to build a shelter and how to do a bow drill and how to start fire with sticks. And there's a lot of great primitive survival skills manual in the market. So I always told myself that's been done numerous ways before and I'm never going to write one. And then the Hunger Games came along, which if no one knows what the Hunger Games are, then I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, it's been sleeping under a rock.
Yeah, seriously, that's putting it lightly. Huge young adult survival themed fiction book series. There's three books in that series. Number one book series in probably the world for the past year, and maybe even a couple of years. And it gave me an opportunity to present primitive skills in a totally different way and reach an audience that doesn't necessarily go out and pick up, you know, your traditional primitive skills survival manual. So while this book does have a Hunger Games theme, it is certainly not only for Hunger Games fans. You know, it is at its core, I teach all of the survival skills and more mentioned throughout the book series, the Hunger Games book series. But at its core, it is a primitive skills manual. You know, these are not fictional skills. These are real skills for real people in real situations. So whether you're a Hunger Games fan or whether you're a survival fan, it's an awesome read. It's full of pictures, which I love.
Yeah.
And it's not heavy reading, you know, it's real light reading. I'm a very light kind of, you know, very light writer. And my writing is easy to read, and this fits right in there. So it's presenting primitive skills in a really different and unique way that's never been done before.
Awesome. So what sort of skills inspired by the movie will we find in the book?
We've got some pretty cool ones. I mean, we definitely talk about twitch-up snares. We definitely talk about how to build snares, but I've done a great post for you for The Art of Manliness on snares too.
Yeah.
We definitely talk about wild edibles. A big theme of the Hunger Games is Katniss, this main character. Actually, Katniss is named after a wild edible tuber, the Katniss plant, also known as the Arrowhead plant. So the Hunger Games book series has a wild edibles theme, so I talk about a lot of the wild edibles that those characters might have been harvesting and gathering. a lot of different hunting tools and techniques. There's kind of a cool scene in the book where Katniss is preparing a warm soup for this other character named Peeta. And she heats this soup by putting in sun-warmed rocks to heat this soup. And there's a part in the book where I teach people how to make a coal-burned container out of wood and then use hot rocks to actually boil and purify water in a wooden container.
Oh, that's
which
awesome.
Which is kind of unique.
That's really
cool. Yeah. So it's applying a lot of those skills mentioned and, you know, really fleshing them out so that people can, you know, practice them and understand them and hopefully one day, if they ever need to, use them.
Well, speaking of which, if one day, what are the chances, you know, as a survivor expert, what are the chances you think we'll end up like Panem, where, you know, there's societal breakdown in the United States and the country's divided into 12 districts and we make teenagers kill each other. What are the chances that that'll happen, that your book will actually, you know, the skills you teach will actually be applicable in the arena, so to speak?
Yeah, seriously. Well, you know, I mean, I'm the kind of guy that says never says never.
Yeah.
So, you know, probably slim, you know, but all great superpowers have fallen. And, the chances of maybe Panem are pretty slim, but the chances of being thrust into a sudden and unexpected survival scenario are not so slim.
Yeah.
You know, I really believe that this stuff happens to people on a regular basis. I mean, we see it on the news. And I really believe that these skills are important. You know, we're not the society that we were 150 years ago where a lot of this is common knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
We have become accustomed to our basic needs being provided for us rather than us providing them. And a lot of people are very uncomfortable when faced with a scenario like that. So, you know, even though it may not be a complete societal collapse, it only takes 3 hours to die, and then sometimes less. So basic primitive skills and modern skills with tools will always have their place, regardless of what society is like or what the world is like. As long as we're on planet Earth, Mother Nature will always be our greatest adversary.
For sure. All right. So, Creek, final question. What can we expect from you in the future? I mean, I'm always amazed that you seem like you get all these projects going on. What are some of the ones we can look forward to that you got coming down the pipe?
Well, I try to stay busy. I always try to put out good survival content, man.
You do.
So I'm constantly just trying to come out with, you know, good writing and good content for people, you know, that's going to make a difference someday. So I try to be entertaining at the same time, and I try to do stuff that's valuable. You know, one of the projects I'm most excited about right now is I've written my first, it's my first survival fiction novel. It's a young adult novel. It's probably one of the projects that I'm most excited about in my whole career. It's a really great story. It's about a boy, 17 years old. The name of the book is Rugosa. It'll be out in a few months. You can obviously get more information on my website. But it's about this 17-year-old boy in kind of a collapsing society, travels from eastern West Virginia on foot to save this girl that he loves who's trapped in Philadelphia. And it really goes through everything that this kid's experiencing, both hard skills and soft skills that we talked about, to get her and start that journey back. It's the first of a 3-book series, and it is just everything that I ever wanted to read in a survival fiction story. So I'm really super excited about it.
That's really awesome. Did you ever think that you'd, you know, like 6 years ago, that you'd be a fiction author?
No, never. You know, I always have enjoyed survival fiction. I mean, I grew up reading My Side of the Mountain and Hatchet and, you know, I mean, Wolf, you know, what's White Fang.
White Fang, yeah.
You know, I just loved survival fiction and those stories. You know, it's just such a part of how I think and who I am and kind of what shaped my childhood. And, you know, I never thought that I would, you know, be writing survival fiction, but it's been a really fun, it's been really fun writing those stories, man, because you're not necessarily, you know, confined by facts and things. So it's just been a really fun opportunity.
I'm looking forward to it. We're gonna take down the Hunger Games, and then we'll have a movie made based off of your books. We're gonna make it happen.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, I got to give mad props to Suzanne Collins who wrote the Hunger Games, because it's only because of that book series that, you know, I had the opportunity to write this book, and she has opened up the doors of opportunity for so many other people, as have you. And, you know, exposed an entirely new audience, the young adult audience, to survival skills that I believe are important that may have not otherwise had an interest in those. So I've definitely seen a spike in young adults and teenagers at my courses. And I think that's huge. And I give a lot of credit to her in that series. So
very good. All right. Well, Creek, this has been a great conversation. Thank you so much for your time.
Hey, Brett, man, I appreciate all that you do. I'm a huge fan of you and your site, and, you know, I eat up your content, so the pleasure is all mine.
Well, thank you, sir. I'm humbled and honored.
And just so you know, I'm at the Blade Show, and I've met probably five or six. I was only in there for a couple hours. I'm at the Blade Show in Atlanta, Georgia, and I've met five or six guys who've come up to me and said, dude, are you Creek from The Art of Manliness, from the guy who writes on The Art of Manliness? So you have got Art of Manliness fans walking around at the Blade Night Show in Atlanta, Georgia today, Brett.
That's awesome. Well, tell them, well, if you...
I'm serious, man.
That's all. If you see any more, give them a firm handshake for me.
I certainly will. I told them, I said, I'm getting ready to get on the phone with Brett from the podcast, and I think they were a little jealous that I couldn't fit them all in the conference room, so...
Our guest today was Creek Stewart. Creek is the owner of Willow Haven Outdoor. You can find more information about his survival school at willowhavenoutdoor.com. And his latest book is The Unofficial Hunger Game Survival Guide. And you can find that book on amazon.com. Well, that wraps up another edition of the Art of Manliness podcast. For more manly tips and advice, make sure to check out the Art of Manliness website at artofmanliness.com. And hey, did you guys know we have a store? We do. It's store.artofmanliness.com. You'll find all sorts of Art of Manliness goodies there, t-shirts, posters with illustrations by Ted Slampiak, stationery, and we're adding new products. So love for you to check by, pick something up. It'll help support the podcast and the website and keep it going. So thanks. So until next time, this is Brett McKay telling you to stay manly.